today I just want to dig into Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to these deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'd like to begin by giving you the title of this message, being Become Who You Are in Christ. Become who you are in Christ. Now that sounds like a misnomer, because who you are, how can you become who you already are? Because who you are in Christ is the righteousness of Christ, called unto good works. Who you are is the royal priesthood, a holy nation. So how can you become something that you already are? And so what we mean here is, when it comes to our everyday walking it out, our understanding, our living. And so Paul, when he's writing this, he's talking to the Christians in Ephesus. He's giving them this same kind of thought process or understanding, become who you already are. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and understand and remember that it's corrupt. And it's corrupt through deceitful lust. That lust is deceitful. Lust can deceive you. It can make you think it's a good thing when actually it's a bad. It can make you think everything's all right when everything ain't all right. It can make you think things are pleasurable when it's leading to destruction. He says deceitful. And then he goes on to remind us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That don't just let the spirit be in your heart. Don't let it just be on the inner man, but let it be in the mind. That the spirit renews your mind. See, this is one of those, I know, it's one of those easier said than done type situations, right? See, we're given power and strength from God through the Spirit. Would you agree? We're given this power and this strength. And Paul gives us some undeniable truth in this passage that would tremendously bless our lives if we fully understood it and exercised it and lived it out. Would you agree with that as well? Okay. So he says some things here in verse 22. He says, put off the talking, put off the engaging with the former self. I saw a commercial just recently of, and maybe some of you remember Charles Barkley. He used to be a famous basketball player. And Charles Barkley has this little man on the side that's talking to him. And he says to him, one of the things that he says to him, and he says, do you want a yacht or do you want some donuts? He said, well, that's given. We know we want the donuts. See, he's talking to himself, this former man is still, there's a level of presence there. And you said, Pastor Jeff, but didn't he die? Yeah. Isn't he no longer? Yeah, well, I don't get it then. How can he still talk? Look at verse 23. See, it tells us and reminds us, allow the transformation of the new you to occur in your body. Allow the transformation of the new you, because there's still something lingering. There's still some lingering effects of that old man that's still hanging around, that don't want to die easily, that don't want to let go. And then he reminds us of 24, to put on the new man that is created in righteousness. See, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. The first time we got on that bike, we probably fell. We didn't know how to ride it We didn't know how to get on it. We didn't know how to steady it. But over time, as we allowed the imbalance to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, before you know it, it became like second nature. And so Paul is reminding us it's so important that we exercise this new man, that we allow it to grow fully in us. And so he tells us, don't put on the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful, but put on the new man, which is righteous and sinless. But I know this question just permeates our mind, it permeates our society. Why do Christians sometimes sin if we have the new man? If the old man is dead and the new man is alive, why do we still sin? Have you ever asked that? Thought about that? Why? Look with me at 1 John 3:9. It tells us some key words here. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, see, in our thinking, we go, that don't make no sense. Because I know I can sin. I've tried it. So it's so important that we understand. The Bible says, in all our getting, to get an understanding. And so let me just explain what we're seeing here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And we ask the question, who or what is born of God? That new man, that regenerated spirit is born of man, which is holy and righteous. That man cannot sin because he is not sinful. This throws and dispels the statement. Have you ever, you know, we have a heritage of coming from and affiliation with Baptists. And so a lot of times growing up, I would hear, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know that's not true. We were sinners. We were in need of being saved by grace. But at the moment that we were saved by grace, we were no longer sinners. We became the righteousness of Christ. We became saints. We are saints. But that old thinking can still linger on. So why then, you might wonder, do many Christians still struggle with the bondage of sin? To fully understand the answer to this important question, we must first grasp the biblical concept of the old man and the new man. And so we're going to look at 1 John 3 a little bit closer, because it says something there. For his seed remaineth in him. That seed that it's talking about there is the seed of God. The seed of Christ, that the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that becomes what's placed inside of you. The seed of righteousness, of God's righteousness, and that cannot sin because it's born of God. So let me go a little bit farther. When people receive Jesus Christ as Savior through repentance and faith, God forgives their sins. He places them in Christ and gives them the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look with me, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be who? In Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God creates us new. We become born again. That's why Jesus said, think it not strange that I say unto you, you must be born again. You become a new creature. Where does that, where did you hear that before? Anybody know? Back in the Old Testament in Genesis. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And so God creates us anew in his image at the moment we accept Christ. So what exactly has passed away and what has become new? It is the old man that passes away and the new man that is created anew in Christ. Look with me, Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, lie not one to another. Ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, that same image that we see in Genesis 1. Now that image, at the moment we accept Christ, is restored, is placed in us. And so let's spend some time talking about the old man and the new man. See, the old man is patterned after Adam, the common ancestor of all mankind. Since the old man is bound by the law of sin and death that we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, he cannot please God. No matter how much we try in our works, the Bible says our works is like filthy rags. Because of the fallen nature, because of sin that fell upon all mankind, we in no way could please or satisfy the righteous requirement of God. We were in need of being born again, made new. Romans 8, 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws working. There's a law of sin and death that all men are dead in their trespasses and sins. And then there's the law of life, the law of Christ that so wants to bring us to life, the spirit of life in Christ. And so how do we understand this? The first point of 3 points when we look at the old man, we understand that the old man has an ungenerated, darkened spirit. It's still a spirit, but it's ungenerated. It means it's not alive. It's not quickened. Allows us to be a living being where we can walk around. But the Bible says we shall surely die because it's ungenerated. And so 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? Because of that darkened spirit, we can't spiritually discern the things of God. We can have a little bit of knowledge. We can understand. We can read certain things in the Bible. We can be moral to a certain extent. But we can't fulfill the righteous requirement because it's a darkened spirit. The second aspect of the old man is the old man includes a corruptible moral body. Even that cute little baby, when that baby is born and we see that baby and they smell so good, it's still a corruptible body. Okay? Your flesh is your physical human body and all its lusts, appetites, and habits. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, Romans 8:8. As long as we're in this and operating in this, it cannot please God. The third aspect of the old man is carnally minded and cannot receive the things of God. Romans 8:6-8, the old man, that old spirit, affected your mind and heart. For to be carnally minded is death, because the carnal mind is enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so the Lord allowed the Israelites and all those within the Old Testament to see that in their flesh they could not please him. Over and over again, they tried to do it their way. He wanted them to know that they were in need of a Savior. So let's talk about the new man. See, the new man is patterned after Christ. Since the new man is free in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. At the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, the chains of the law of sin and death were broken. And there's a new law that came on the inside of us. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But it's still possible for him to sin, right? Still possible for us to sin. So why? Because the spiritual seed of the Father replaces the law of sin and death with Christ's sinless characteristics. But there's still something hanging on, and that's this flesh. That's his flesh. And so we ask the question, maybe you had in your mind, well, why didn't God just, you know, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he was given this glorified body, why didn't God just correct the body too? Can you imagine if the Lord left you here and you had a glorified body and you're like hovering over everybody and you're trying to share and people just looking at you like, I don't even know what that is. And so because the Bible tells us, be ye in this world, but not of this world. And so God left us in a little bit of this world for an opportunity for us to give him glory in it. That yes, the flesh is holding on, but also we know that the flesh is decaying. It's dying, right? Anybody got some gray hairs in here? We know that, right? We know it ain't got much time. And so we have an opportunity to give God glory in it. It's so important that we see what the scriptures reminds us of, what this new man has afforded unto us. So the new man, point one, has a spirit that is quickened, made alive by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. See, God didn't leave us alone. God didn't leave us comfortless. He quickened our spirit. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. It is who we are as the righteousness of Christ, as his children. We are spiritual beings, not earthly beings, not natural beings, but spiritual. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to the spirit within us, comforts the spirit within us, and tells the flesh to get in line if we let it. See, I remember when I shared with y'all at 16, I went to a Pentecostal church. I met Sister Montgomery. She told me how much God loved me and how much she loved me, and I believed it. I surrendered my heart to the Lord. But you know, I realized that what I did was I made him Savior, but I really didn't make him Lord of my life. I know some people believe you can't do one without the other, and I would agree with that because I had good intentions. I surrendered it all to him, but then I walked away with this flesh. And for 4 years, I strayed away from God. I lived like the world. I lived of the desires of my flesh. But I could feel the conviction of the Spirit within me. It wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't an easy walk because there was a groaning going on the inside of me. See, when you have the Spirit of life living on the inside of you, It wrestles and it fights with this flesh. And this flesh don't want to give up. See, if you can go out and do anything and live any kind of life and there be no conviction, you need to question whether the Spirit of Christ is in you. Because he will convict you. And so when Sergeant Brown came to me at my unit and was talking to me, it wasn't him. I heard God speaking to me. I heard the Holy Spirit pounding on the inside of my heart. And it was just that alive spirit was just pounding. Because there was life on the inside of me, but I was allowing the flesh to rule. See, the second point of the new man is the new man includes an immortal, incorruptible body. Let me explain that a little bit. See, at the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's an immortal, incorruptible body afforded to you. But while you're in this world, you don't possess it just yet. It's waiting for you. Just like Jesus got his glorified body, you're going to get your glorified body. So this is a temporary container. It's not who you are. Your glorified body is waiting. So while you are in this world, you got to deal with this. And it's so important that we deal the right way. See, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 and 49 through 50 says this, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last man, the last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we can't take this with us. It's not supposed to go where righteousness is, where holiness. And so we lay this down, but make no doubt about it, we have an immortal, incorruptible body waiting for us because of the new man. And then the third point of the new man is spiritually minded and feast on the things of God. See, our new man so desires to dwell and be in fellowship with God, so desires to desire the sincere milk of the gospel. And it's so important that we exercise and mature and allow the spirit of man to grow in us. As the Bible reminds us, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 8, 6, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now I know we so want to have peace. This is the way we have it. As we allow the spirit to be fed with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, that it rises up richly in us. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, you can't know all the things of God just by your head knowledge. It must be spiritually discerned. You must allow yourself first and foremost to be quickened in the spirit, come alive, and then feed it so that God can speak to you. He can remind you of who you are and whose you are and the plans and the purposes that he has for you. He can speak truth and not lies. He can share life and not death. He can awaken the spirit in you so mightily that it will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh get in check. So what's the bottom line of it all? The old man is patterned after Adam and is bent towards sin, while the new man is patterned after Christ and can never sin. So I know that's that can be a hard concept while we're in this flesh to understand. The new man inside of you, the spirit that's been regenerated, it's been regenerated from God. And guess what? It belongs to God. It is holy and righteous. See, we suffer from the residual effects of the old man. This flesh is still hanging on from the old man. But it's not who we are. It's not our nature. It's just the condition that we're in for now, for a short period of time. And we see that the scriptures remind us these light afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed in us. Can you imagine it for a moment, saints? That when you're in your glorified body, your thoughts are perfectly aligned with His thoughts. Your will is perfectly aligned with His will. There's no wrestling and struggling anymore. And we look back and we're able to say, Lord, I wish I would have been more. I wish I would have understood a little bit greater. Maybe I wouldn't allow certain things to affect me, to cause me to get my eyes off of you. Lord, help me to see you closer now. Help me to know you. Help me to walk in the Spirit so I shall not fulfill the lust of this flesh. Since those who are in Christ can sometimes sin, there must be some of the old man still remaining. Saints, I implore you by God to grab your spiritual sledgehammer. And every time that old man tries to rise up and every time he tries to have his way, take your holy spiritual sledgehammer and hit him square in the head. Knock him down. Let him know you're just temporary. You're not who I am. You're only a little bit necessary for my time here. A container. But who I am is the new man, the new woman, created in Christ Jesus. So however your flesh, which is your physical body, your earth suit, with all its programmed habits and lust, did not change, not yet. And you still await a new glorified body to completely put on the new man. Saints of God, walk by faith in the Spirit of Christ. Walk by faith in the Spirit of the new man while bringing your flesh under subjection to the Lordship of Christ. See, 1 Peter 1:14 reminds us of that very point. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but to subject ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. Only then will the old man be as good as dead. If you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Holy Spirit desires and is conforming you to the image of Christ and renewing your mind day by day through the word of truth. Allow God to have his perfect work. Allow his word to speak mightily in you. Glorify God in choosing to follow him and not to give over to the sins of this world. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, the more you submit to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the less powerful your flesh will have over you. See, we can crucify this flesh. Allow it to be risen with Christ. As Galatians 2:20 reminds us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See the key part there, yet not I, but Christ lives in us. Let our life be hid in him. So I close with this, saints. We must be willing to die to sin if we desire on this side of heaven to become who we are, to walk out who we are. See, Paul knew it. Paul knew by faith his old man was crucified with Christ, and his new man was alive in Christ. Therefore, Paul died daily to his flesh. This leftover old man that still perplexes and plagues us, so that the life of Christ could live through him. See, that's where we're desiring, so that the life of Christ would live through us. That we would obey his command and fulfill the great commission to love him and to love others. See, the devil's deceitful. He's trying to take us off our purpose, off the will of God for leaving us here on this earth with all its trials and its tribulations, so that we would glorify him, share his amazing love with somebody. So it is possible for those who are new creations in Jesus Christ to sin, yes, because of these residual leftover old man flesh. Yes, if you choose to walk according to their old man flesh and carnal mind, rather than walking as who we are in Christ, yes, you will sin. But you don't have to. And when you do, get back up. No, it's not who you are. Don't live shaken and broken in this world, but live victoriously in him. He's been so good to us. See, everybody here, I want you to know that you're living a Job kind of life. But God is saying, have you considered my servant? Put your name on it. By virtue of at the moment you accepted Christ and you stayed here, you were going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. But rest assured, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That he hath begun a good work in you is faithful and just to complete it to the day of redemption. And God's going to redeem it all. He's going to say, give it back. You don't get anything, Satan. And on that great day, you're going to have that body come on you. And saints of God, here's the beautiful part. Because of your faithfulness, it's going to fit just right. You're going to be like, yeah. Yeah. It fits. It's not baggy. It don't look like it's not, don't belong to me. But I've been walking this thing out. I've been exercising, getting ready so it fits. And guess what happens? We glorify him. We praise him. We throw crowns. Like, yes, Lord. Because we become who we are in Christ.